Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, ever since you woke up this morning, you've been making decisions. And without decisions, nothing happens. You decided when to get up. You decided what to wear. You decided what you would have for breakfast, if you had any. You decided whether you would pray and prepare to come to the meeting this morning or not. You decided to come to the meeting, otherwise, presumably, you wouldn't be here. So, every decision has a repercussion. And all through the day, we are making decisions. Sometimes we're hardly aware of them, like those things I've just mentioned. You were actually making those decisions without sitting down and praying and saying, Lord, when should I get up? And Lord, what should I wear? And Lord, what should I have for breakfast? Those are just the ordinary run-of-the-mill decisions that you make. But of course, during the course of most days, there are more significant decisions. And you know that you don't want to be an indecisive person. But to make the decisions, and because you love the Lord, you want to make the right decisions. And every decision that we make has a repercussion. If it's a good decision, the fruit of those decisions will be good. If they're bad decisions, the fruit of the decisions will be bad. If our hearts are right, then our decisions will be right. The scriptures are very clear about that. If we should make sinful decisions, then sooner or later we will feel guilt. And we will see perhaps some very negative consequences in our own lives and possibly in the lives of others, of those sinful decisions that we've made. On the other hand, every time we make a decision to love, to bless, to give, to serve, the fruit of those things is good. Now, of course, behind the decisions, there can be a variety of different motives. We can make decisions to please ourselves. We can make decisions to please God. And sometimes we recognize that if we make a decision to please ourselves, we would displease God. And sometimes if we're going to make a decision to please God, we're actually going to displease ourselves. We're going to have to deny ourselves in some way. We make decisions to bless and to love others because by loving them, we express our love for God. Now, all this is very obvious. But as Christians, we need to be an omega people. Now, what I mean by that is, as you may know, omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. And the scripture says that God is Alpha, the beginning, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and the Omega, the ending. So an omega people are Christians. It would be great if you could say this was true of every Christian. But an Omega people are Christians who realize that all the significant decisions of their life have a repercussion, Omega, at the end, on the Day of Judgment, when we have to give account to the Lord of the stewardship of our lives. And at that time, our eternal reward will be determined. That reward, as you know, is not salvation. Salvation is His precious gift to us when we were born again, when we came into relationship with Jesus Christ. But of course, between that point and the time when we will come before the judgment seat of Christ, we have to work out our salvation. We have to make millions of decisions over those years as to what we are going to do, what we're going to allow into our mind, what we're going to say, the way in which we're going to relate to others, give, bless, serve, and so on. Daily, 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 we're full of those decisions. But if we're an Omega people, then we realize that the motive behind the decisions that we make will always be to glorify the Lord. And if they're to glorify the Lord, then they will be a great blessing, not only to us, but to others. That whatever we do to others, we do to Him. And so we don't make those right decisions and do those right things just to get a reward, but because we want to glorify the Lord. We want to please Him. We want to do what is good and right in His eyes. We want to make the right decisions that are pleasing in His sight. And so we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us and to help us to make those right decisions. However, there is a framework that God has given us so that we can know whether the decisions that we make are right or wrong, and a test, really, to know whether we're truly listening to the Holy Spirit or to our own desires or even to another voice that is not the Spirit. So all these things will be very obvious to you as people who know and love the Lord. So, what is this framework? Well, the framework, of course, is the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is all the time wanting us to make the decisions that are in line with God's Word. He will never ask us to make a decision that is contrary to God's Word. We know that if we make such a decision that is against God's word, it is against Him. And that is sin that cannot be of love for Him. So let's think for a few moments this morning about how this whole process is to operate in our lives so that we are conscious that everything we do now is going to have not just an immediate repercussion or even just a long-standing repercussion in this life, it's going to have an eternal significance. The decisions you make now are going to affect what happens to you eternally. So we are going to look at a number of scriptures that will help us to understand this. And I'll talk a little bit about what is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Anybody interested in that? Would you like to know that? Yeah. People are often asking questions like that. You know, who is going to be saved? Who isn't going to be saved? What's going to happen? How will our reward be assessed? And all the rest of it. Well, of course, the scriptures give us a certain amount of information about that. Any speculation beyond that is just speculation. But if we keep to the Word of God, then actually we have some pretty good indications of what is going to be pleasing to the Lord on that day and what is not. It's not for us to judge anybody else. You know, we've just got to look to ourselves. But it's good to know, isn't it, whether we're heading in the right direction. Whether we're going to be considered among the greatest or the least in the kingdom of heaven. And that's the place to start. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount each day, aren't we? A few verses. And I trust that that's blessing you as you do that. But you see, one of the things that Jesus said, I tell you the truth, until this present heaven and earth disappear, not one word of what God has said or written will be removed from the law. Everything God has said will be fulfilled. So anyone who breaks even the least of these commandments and encourages others to do the same will be numbered among the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, who's Jesus talking about? Well, he must be talking about saved people, because otherwise they won't belong to the kingdom of heaven. So he's saying there will be some that will pass through the judgment and into the eternal kingdom of God, but they'll be the least in that kingdom because they weren't obedient and they didn't encourage others to be obedient. Now, this, of course, is a particular word for leaders who preach and teach, but also, of course, for all of us, because the decisions you make are an example to others. Your lifestyle is an example to others. And what God wants us to be, all of us to be, is good witnesses that could give a good account of who God is and of how he can work in our lives and work through our lives and bless us and bless others through us. So it's possible to somehow pass through that judgment, but only be in a very minor, insignificant place in heaven. We've got to get rid of this idea that everybody will be the same in heaven. That is not true. It's not what Jesus teaches, not what the scriptures teach. So they'll be in heaven. Somehow, therefore, they'll be in the glory of God, but they will not have a very high place in heaven. What they will be doing in heaven will be among the least. And that is because of the way in which they lived in this life. Now, once you're in heaven, as far as we can see from the scripture, you can't progress. If you're the least, then you'll be the least eternally. If you'll be among the greatest, you'll be among the greatest eternally. Hello?
Yes.
Your sort of eternal reward is being worked out now. So then Jesus says, but whoever obeys God's commands and teaches others to do likewise will be called great in God's kingdom. So those that walk in obedience in this time, if we take the lectern here to represent the time when you were born again, and over here is the eternity into which you will pass beyond this life, it's how you walk and how you live in this period that is going to determine that reward. The salvation is God's gift. So even the disobedient, because they've trusted in the saving grace of God, they will get through the judgment, but they will only be numbered among the least. Now, you have to make a decision, you see. Do you want to be among the least or do you want to be among the greatest? Jesus doesn't talk about anything in between. So either we're going to be obedient or disobedient Christians. Hello? Doesn't mean that, you know, every decision that you make will be right, but it's all a matter of the heart, isn't it? Are you living to obey the Lord? Are you living to please the Lord? Are you living to glorify the Lord? Or are you walking in your own ways, making your own decisions about what you would prefer to do rather than what God wants? Anybody there? Okay, so Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, he said that he was the true vine and they're the branches. And he said, now, continue to live in me. So God's purpose is that during this period of time, between the time when you receive salvation and to the fulfillment of that salvation, during this period of time, you are living in the vine in Christ Jesus. Somehow God has put you into Christ, and what the scripture says is that when he did that, he put Christ into you by giving you the gift of the Spirit. So then Jesus says to the disciples, now continue to live in me. In other words, just because you've been saved, that doesn't mean you will automatically continue to live in Christ. But what Jesus teaches is that you have the responsibility to continue to live in him, and then he promises he will continue to live in you. Okay? Then he says a little bit later, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue to live in my love. So here you've been put into Christ. You've been put into the love of God. And he says, now continue to live there. And then he says how you continue to live there. He says, if you obey my commands, you will continue to live in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and continue to live in his love. So in other words, from the moment that Jesus began his ministry to the moment that he went to glory after the cross and resurrection, he says while he was on earth, he had to remain in the Father's love by being obedient to the Father. That if at any moment he had been disobedient to the Father, he actually would have broken relationship with the Father and there wouldn't have been any salvation for any of us. Are you at the same meeting that I'm at here? Okay. So he says, well, that's how I had to keep in fellowship with the Father. This is how you keep in unity and in fellowship with me. You continue to live in me by obeying what I command. Now, this essentially is the command to love, isn't it? That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. You shall love others as you love yourself. And within the body of Christ, you shall love one another as I have loved you. So you continue in that love by working out those commands of love in your life. Now, that means, you see, the motivation behind all the decisions that you make is love. So all the decisions you make every day are to be motivated by love for God and love for others. In the body of Christ, every decision we make is therefore to be made out of love for one another. Amen? That's so important to God, because only when there's that unity of love will the world then believe who Jesus is. So Jesus prayed, Father, may they be one. So, you know, the devil wants to unite and separate, but the Holy Spirit wants to unite in love so that we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Are we there? Now, if we love the Lord and if we love others with the love that he's given us, then this is going to have all kinds of very practical ramifications in the decisions that we make. And Jesus is very clear about this. And one of the good things about going through the Sermon on the Mount as we are this Lent is that it is full of commands. And all those commands ultimately come back to the love of God. Whether we love God or not, whether if we obey these commands, it demonstrates that we love him. To disobey whatever Jesus commands is actually a crisis of love, isn't it? We have chosen to love ourselves, or we have chosen something other, something above the position that we've given to the Lord. Hello? Yeah. That's what is called sin. Right, so Jesus says, for example, that when you give secretly. That's why we have a bucket, envelopes for you to put things in and so on. You don't make a flourish of it like the Pharisees and the hypocrites who want everybody to know what they were given. Why? Because the motivation is if you want others to know, you want them to glorify you. But if you do it secretly, you're doing it simply out of love because you want to glorify him. So what we understand, what we come to understand, is that the only way to outwork this command of love is by faithfulness. God is always faithful to his word, isn't he? Therefore, he wants us to be faithful in the outworking of that word. He wants us to be faithful in the fulfilling of those commands. So what Jesus says is, if you give like that, secretly in love, your Heavenly Father will reward you. Now, some of those rewards are going to be for now. Some of them are going to have eternal significance. In a sense, all the right ones will store up for you treasure in heaven, especially in relation to the different ways in which you give to the Lord. You know, don't store up treasure on earth, Jesus said, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Now, that's an Omega people. They realize, well, what I do with my wealth and resources, not just of money, but of time and the abilities that God has given me and the anointing he's placed on my life, the way I use all that is going to store up riches in heaven if I use all those resources in loving obedience to the will of God. But if I just use those resources and the blessings God gives me for myself in a selfish way, then yes, I believed in his saving grace, so I will pass into salvation, but I'll only be among the least, not the greatest. Any believers in the room this morning? Okay, so Jesus says the same thing about prayer. When you pray, go into the room privately, shut the door, pray to your Father in secret, and the Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you openly. Now, how are you going to be rewarded openly for the way you pray? Because, well, there's two ways in which you can understand that. Your prayers will be answered. That's one good thing. But also, after the day of judgment, it will be clear to all how God has rewarded you for the way you prayed. Even when you pray faithfully and you don't think very much is happening, for an Omega people, there is an eternal reward. Are you understanding this? Okay, so we want to see our prayers answered now, don't we? So, you know, some people, they get all hoity-toity with God and say, oh, I believed and he didn't do it. But wait a minute, we've got to put the whole counsel of God together, you see, because what Jesus says is, if you live in me and my words live in you, this sort of continuous action here, then God will give you whatever you ask in prayer, whatever you want. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. But the condition is, you see, that you're living in Christ, that you're walking in love. Now, another thing that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount is, and you'll come to this a little bit later as we go through it verse by verse, walk in the narrow way. You pass through the narrow gate. Now, the narrow gate is Jesus. He is the gate for the sheep, isn't he? John chapter 10. So you entered through the narrow gate. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The way into salvation is through the narrow gate. You've passed through the narrow gate, yes? Yeah. So you're one of God's saved people. Hallelujah. You're allowed to say that. Hallelujah. But beyond the narrow gate, there is a narrow way. Now, there's also a broad path that leads to destruction. But if you pass through the narrow gate, God places your feet on the narrow way. Now, what is the narrow way? It's the way that leads to life. It's the way that leads to the great reward. It's the way that leads to the crown of life that all those who overcome will receive, according to the book of Revelation. So, what is the narrow way? The narrow way is living in Christ. The narrow way is walking in that love. The narrow way is living to please God. The narrow way is living for His glory. The narrow way, therefore, is making the right decisions that keep you in right relationship with God. And should you stray from the narrow way, and there's a roaring lion seeking, you know, who to devour, isn't he? He's just waiting for anybody to get off the narrow way, and that gives him an advantage, doesn't it? It gives him his opportunity. So we have the shield of faith with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, yes? We have overcome. We have the faith that overcomes the world. So we don't have to leave the narrow way to walk as the world does. We don't have to leave the narrow way to do what the enemy wants. We walk in the narrow way to please God, to love Him, to love those that He's given us, to love in the fellowship of love into which He's brought us. Amen? So we are working out our salvation by living in Christ, and by walking on that narrow way. Now, this gives tremendous blessing now, the answer to prayer, the peace, all the, you know, being able to share in the divine nature, being able to share in all the heavenly blessings that God has given us in Christ Jesus, because we're living in Him. We can lay hold of those blessings, we can lay claim to those blessings, we can download them in our lives day by day by day by day. But what of those who are saved but don't walk on the narrow way, but don't live out their lives in love for Jesus? I'm always being asked questions, people like this, about this. But you haven't asked the question, so I won't tell you. Or perhaps you'd like to know. Well, it's very simple. They cannot enjoy all the riches and blessings that could be theirs now. That if they'd chosen to walk in obedience, in love for God, fulfilling His commands, by proving themselves faithful, they would have many, many rich rewards in their lives now, as you are learning and discovering for yourselves. And then they will have that great reward in heaven that Jesus talks about. But if people choose not to walk in that obedience, they're sort of walking over here somewhere. They're still saved because they trusted in the Lord, but they've got to pass through something that every one of us will have to pass through. And that's the fire. Do you remember that the scripture says when people have seen the Lord in His glory, He has eyes of fire? And so when we come before the Lord at the judgment, and we'll all have to do that, whether we've been obedient, disobedient, we all have to do that. Every man, woman, and child on earth has to do that, whether they're believers or not. All will have to come before the judgment seat of Christ. And then those eyes of fire will be placed upon us. And Paul explains what happens. Then the value of each man's work will be seen clearly, because the testing of God's fire will prove the quality of what each person has produced. For those whose work survives that fire, there will be a reward. But for the one whose work is burned up, there will be loss. He will be saved, but only like someone who has escaped from the flames, only as through fire. And what the scripture says is that, you know, our works are either gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Now, how do you distinguish between those? Well, the gold, silver, and precious stones is living in Christ, walking on the narrow way, making the decisions to love God, to love others, to please Him, to live for His glory. All those works, which ultimately are the work of the Holy Spirit in us, will be gold, silver, precious stones. Now, all those things can survive fire. But all those works, the motivation behind which was to please ourselves, to do what we want rather than what God wants, are the wood, hay, and stubble. What happens to them in the fire? They all get burnt up. So if all, when it comes to the time of judgment here, all a person has got is wood, hay, and stubble, all the works will be burnt up. So there will be no reward for what he has done. He will have salvation. He will be numbered among the least. But he will only have escaped as through fire. So, you know, anybody living like that could have a right fear of what's going to happen when they die, of the judgment. They might believe they're going to go to heaven, but they're not going to have a... You wouldn't want to stand next to them on the day of judgment, would you? While sort of everything in their lives gets burnt up, you'd want to keep a little bit of distance, yes? But you see, if we're an Omega people, if we have our sights on pleasing God eternally, then the decisions that we make now need to be gold, silver, and precious stones. Because if we make the right decisions now, we will produce the right works now. Now, the decision isn't doing the work. Hello? Because some people make decisions, but they don't follow them through. So it's not the decision that will gain the reward. It's the work that comes from the decision. But of course, if you don't make the right decision, you won't have the right works. Yes. Now, this isn't a salvation of works. The salvation is by grace alone, through the mercy of God. It's the gift that he gave us right at the beginning. The reward is for what we've done with our salvation, how we've outworked our salvation, how we've lived in the saving grace of God. So some of you may be aware of the teaching that's going on now, you know, where a lot of people are saying, well, it doesn't matter too much how you live because you're saved by the grace of God, so you just enjoy the grace of God and you don't have to obey his commands. That all those commands, they're the law of the Old Testament. No, no, no. The New Testament is full of laws. The law of the Spirit of life that has set us free from the law of sin and death. we had the law of sin and death that man could not obey, but now we have the laws of the Spirit of life. And for fulfilling those, there'll be a great reward. So those that are teaching that, I fear for them, because those who are teaching people like that are leading a lot of people astray. But not only that, Jesus says, if you don't obey these commands and you teach others not to obey them, you will be numbered among the least. These people may have, some of them may have big churches and seem to have great success here on earth, but what's going to happen at the judgment? Hello? You see, it's not for us to judge anyone. The Lord will do that. So let's just listen to what the Lord says, because he promises that each man will be rewarded according to what he has done. And Jesus repeats that. It's repeated a number of times by Jesus himself, even in the very last chapter of the Bible. In the end of Revelation, it says that Jesus will at that time reward everyone for what he has done. We can't escape from this. And Paul says the same thing, that he reminds his readers that Jesus has said everyone will be rewarded according to what he's done. In Revelation it says, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to give to each person what his deeds deserve." Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? And when he's writing to Romans, Paul says, he has promised that each person will be rewarded for what he or she has done. Well, so he says, run to win the prize. See, run to win. Run to overcome everything that comes against you. And you see, lots of things are going to come against you, because we have to walk on this narrow way, and we're surrounded by the world and all its values, the devil who wants to get us off that way, and the flesh who doesn't like walking on that way. Yes? Because you have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus. You have to deny yourself if you're going to walk on that way. So, you know, there's going to be lots of opposition. And actually, some of the opposition is going to come from Christians. They're going to say, oh, you don't have to be, you know, so obedient like that. You could just enjoy life, enjoy the Lord, just live by faith, and, you know, all the rest of it. So Jesus says, you'll be persecuted. If you walk on that way, you'll be persecuted just like I was. You'll be hated just like I was. You will suffer just as I did. You'll be rejected just as I was. But there will be a great reward for you in heaven. So, as an Omega people, when the pressure is on and the opposition is there and the difficulties arise and people are coming against you, just rejoice and be glad, because you're an Omega people and great will be your reward in heaven. Don't get your eyes on the opposition. Don't get your eyes on the persecution. Don't get waylaid by all of that stuff. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. He is the good shepherd, and he's leading you. But where does he lead you? He leads you on the narrow way. He leads you to remain in Christ. He leads you right through that fire of judgment into the great reward that he has stored up for you. Was that a believer somewhere? Hallelujah. It's good news, isn't it? So you see, I'm loving you by bringing you this message this morning in obedience to what the Lord's told me to do. It's not the first time I've talked about this reward in recent months, but God wants us to understand the significance of the decisions we make now. That all these decisions have not just a repercussion for this life or for the immediate moment, but they have a repercussion eternally. Now, I can sum all this up in this one word, faithfulness. That's the key. Jesus, you remember, in heaven, it was seen that two words were written on his, were written on him. Faithfulness and true. Faithful and true. He is faithful and true, see? And faithfulness, of course, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So what matters now is that we make faithful decisions that lead to faithful works that glorify our faithful God. Does that sound right? Of course, none of us, sadly, will always make the right decisions. And sadly, that means that sometimes we will falter a little bit, at least, in that faithfulness. But that's why we have the advocate in heaven, the one who speaks to us, to God the Father, on our behalf. So if you can just catch hold of this sort of visual thing, because it's a bit strange, really, because you see, Jesus is central to the whole thing, isn't he? Jesus is leading us, right? He's the good shepherd. So we're following him on this way. Jesus is with us, yes? So he's leading us, and he's with us. If we live in him, he continues to live in us, so he's living in us, yes? By the power of his Spirit. But he is also reigning in glory. He is the advocate in heaven. So what John says in the first chapter of his epistle is, if we do sin, you know, he says those that are born again will not continue to sin. But even if we do sin, we have an advocate for us in heaven. Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the one who has died for the forgiveness of our sins. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is here leading us. Jesus is with us. Jesus is encouraging us to make the right decisions, to keep walking faithfully with him, to therefore produce the right works that will glorify the Father, the works of love for God, for others. But even when we fail, there's Jesus in heaven saying to the Father, he's one of mine. I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive him. See? And Jesus says, right, now, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So here, so long as in love, you're forgiving everybody, everybody who comes against you, everybody who hurts you, you're not taking offense, you're not doing, you know, you're forgiving. Jesus says, right, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. But, of course, that's not a license to sin and to disobey, is it? Because that would be the wrong heart motivation. You're not living for the glory. You're not living as an omega person. So even though your heart, with your heart, you want to please the Lord, you want to do what is right, you want to make the right decision, sometimes you don't, and you fail. And when you realize you fail, oh, Lord, forgive me. And he says, yes, so long as you forgive others. So long as you don't take offense, so long as you, you know, you don't get uppity with other people, so long as you don't criticize and judge them, I'll forgive you. Because once you start judging others, you're off the narrow way. Once you don't forgive someone, then you're not forgiven. And once you're not forgiven, how can you be in Christ? How can you be abiding in him? See? So he says, keep living in me. Keep in my love. Right? And if you realize, oh, that was a wrong decision. That was not a decision in love. I didn't love God. I didn't love the others that God had given me to love by making that decision. I was just thinking of myself. I wasn't thinking of God. I wasn't thinking of others. I wasn't thinking of the repercussions of how my decision could hurt others. I was just being selfish. As soon as you realize that, oh, Lord, forgive me. Yes. So long as you forgive others. Is this a good gospel? Because it's the only one there is. It's the good news of what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. So Paul says this. We must just finish. I don't know why, because we could go on till tea time. But your reward will come from him, the rich inheritance he has promised you. This is Colossians. At all times, you are serving the Lord Christ. And then when he's writing to Timothy, he says, aim for godliness. And then he says this, true godliness brings real rewards. So many people in the world, and even some Christians, I think you would probably have to say, without wanting to judge them, they live for what rewards they can get now. Huh? And they're not necessarily Omega people who understand that, you know, just accumulating wealth for yourself now is not really going to help your eternal destiny. Huh? That, yes, God promises us abundance so that we can use that abundance for his glory. Huh? Not storing up for ourselves wealth here on earth, but using whatever resources he's given us for the glory and honor of his name and for the good of his kingdom and for the welfare of other people. So, have that Omega mindset. Pray to God that he will give you that eternal perspective. And what the scripture says to us again and again is, watch out. Watch how you walk. I mean, you know, when you walk along, you have to watch where you're going. These days, when you drive along, you have to miss all the potholes. This morning, on the way here, I weaved my way down Lamb's Farm Road. Fortunately, there was no traffic coming in the other direction. The trouble is, when somebody's coming the other way to oppose you, you can't weave. And then it's you and the pothole. But there was no traffic this morning, so I could weave. But we have to watch where we're going. Be careful how we walk. And what does that mean? Be careful of the decisions you make. And can I give you just a little bit of advice to finish? If you're afraid to tell anybody else of the decision that you've made, it's almost certainly not the right decision. Because there's no fear in love. If you've made a decision in love, it doesn't matter who knows about that decision. But if it's not made in love, you'll be afraid to tell some people of that decision. Especially anybody in authority, spiritually. You won't want them to know. Hello? But to walk in love is to walk in freedom. Amen? Let's all stand. Oh, thank you, Jesus. First of all, just thank him for your salvation. Because you can only work out your salvation with fear and trembling because you have received that salvation. So thank the Lord for that precious gift that wasn't dependent upon anything that you did, but was solely dependent upon what Christ did for you. So thank him for that precious blood. But, you know, I can't thank God for my salvation without also thanking Jesus for his obedience. Because without his obedience in his walk on earth, there couldn't have been salvation. So I thank you, Jesus, for your loving obedience to the Father. I thank you that although you were as weak as I am in your humanity, and though you were tempted in every way, just as I have been tempted, yet you never sinned, you never failed, you always made the right decisions, you always had the right motivation, you always had the right heart, you always pleased the Father, you always glorified him, you always made the decisions out of love for your Father and for the people who were before you. And I thank you, Lord, that that enabled you to go to the cross and make a perfect sacrifice for all those of us who have got it wrong. And I praise you, Lord, and I bless you, and I thank you that your perfect obedience to the commands of your Father are an example to all of us as to how to live the saved life on earth. Now, if you're aware of any area of disobedience right now, bring it to the Father. I haven't gone through all the commands that Jesus made. There's so many of them, but you will know if there's something happening in your life at this time that is the fruit of wrong decisions. So if that's the case, ask him to forgive you, and he will, because he's your advocate in heaven. Just be sure that your heart is right towards others and that you've forgiven them. You're not holding on to any grudges. You're not judging anyone. You're not taking offense. But as you want God to be merciful to you, so you are merciful to others. And then thank him for the grace to forgive and for the mercy that he has upon you. Thank you, Lord, that you wash away all those imperfections. There may be a few that feel you've got off the narrow way. You're not sort of really abiding in Jesus, living in his love. Well, right now, my friend, make the decision to come back. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything like that, because God's looking at your heart. He knows whether you're making that decision or not. But if you need to, make that decision now. Lord, I'm coming back to the narrow way. I'm coming back into the heart and center of your will. I'm coming back into that way of love. I want to live out my life abiding in your love by obeying your commands. I want to live in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you've forgiven me for getting off that narrow way. Thank you now, by your mercy and grace, I come back to the narrow way. And thank you, Lord, for all those that you're restoring at this moment. Now, most of you will be walking on that narrow way, so just thank the Lord that he is present with you, that he's living in you, that he's the good shepherd who's leading you, and he is in heaven interceding for you. So you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Now thank him that you're an Omega person, that he has a rich reward, a great reward, awaiting you in heaven. He wants you to be great. He doesn't want you to be numbered among the least. That's why he's giving you this word this morning. And he's saying to every person in this room, I have a great reward awaiting you. So let your decisions and your actions be gold, silver, precious stones, pleasing in my sight, truly glorifying me. And have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. Have nothing to do with making decisions out of a desire to please yourself or to have what you want just for yourself. All those selfish desires. The Lord says to you, they're wood, they're hay, they're stubble, and there'll be no reward for them. They're actually counterproductive to the great reward he wants for you. And lastly, just thank the Lord that you're not walking on that way alone. That there's a company of believers around you. And that they're there to love you, encourage you, support you, help you, teach you, train you in the ways of the Lord. Come on, really thank the Lord. Thank him for the body to which you belong. Thank him for this church. Thank him for the others in this church. And just pray now that God will direct you. Yeah, I mean direct you into the group that he wants you to be part of in this next couple of weeks. It may not be the group of your preference. Maybe that God is going to lay on your heart something that he wants that you wouldn't necessarily choose for yourself. In which case, he will give you a passion for what he wants. Amen. But just be prepared for that. Say, Lord, I want to be in the right place. I want to be in the place of your appointing, because when I'm in the place of your appointing, I can be in the place of your anointing. So I give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise. And Lord, we just pray for your body here, that as a whole body, we will be faithful to you. We will be faithful in walking in that way. We'll be faithful in giving a witness in Horsham and in the 25-mile radius to the nation and beyond of a people that know their God and that do great exploits because we're intent on pleasing you. And all this we pray in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.